How is everybody this evening? Everybody doing all right? Good. All right. Let me get my notes out here. And, okay, that's that. Yeah, all right. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd encourage you again, several things. First, let me ask, how many of you were able to pass out at least three tracts? If you did, wave at me, please. All right, good, good. I challenge you to do that again tomorrow. Pass out at least three tracts. Again, encourage you to work on the memory verses that are on the coaching cards with each spiritual point. The fact of sin, Romans 3:23. The consequences of sin, Romans 6:23. The remedy for sin, Romans 5:8. And then the individual response to the gospel, Romans 10:13. So I'd encourage you to work on those. I always use Revelation 21:8 also in talking about in the consequences for sin, that the consequence that death is a death in hell. It's not just a physical death, but the Bible says there's a second death. And I'll normally ask somebody, I'll say, listen, have you ever seen that in the Bible where it talks about a second death? And normally the answer is no. And I'll tell them it's not something spooky or mysterious. In fact, when you see it, it'll make sense to you. The verse just simply says this, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I explained to them that it is simply saying that those folks that die in their sin, and that's what it lists there in the first part of the verse, die a second death, or a death to their soul, and that death is a death in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I'll ask them if they know what that second death or what that lake of fire is. Most of the time folks know, sometimes they do not. If they do not, normally right there on the same page, Revelation 20:14, it says this, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, or cast into hell. Let's see, how does it say that? Excuse me. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. So it explains that that lake of fire is hell. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but I'd encourage you to work on memorizing those verses. Y'all help me out. What's the three P's of soul winning? There you go. Practice, practice, practice. Hey, it is worth working at to become a good soul winner. Y'all say amen right there. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you have that, say amen. Wave at me. Do something. Let me know you got it. Got it? All right. If you have your Bible, it'll say this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so I want us to see that tonight in verse 2, that it says this, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We're going to start off with this foundational principle tonight. We looked at last night, fear is a factor. Fear is a factor. And if you, I hope that you got that. There it is, a spiritual warfare. There are the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's many things that we went through. So tonight we're going to start out with this. We're not out to debate doctrine. We're not out to debate doctrine. Understand, folks, that many times as we go and begin to talk to people about the Lord, You know, if somebody is of a differing religion, a differing denomination even, then they will begin to bring up, you know, different doctrines that we would maybe disagree with. And I would say this, we're not out to debate doctrine. I understand several things. Is that first, a lost man does not and cannot understand spiritual things. If you would look down to in chapter 2 here, look at verse 14. In verse 14, but the natural man, that's a lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Understand what the Bible is saying here is that a lost man does not and cannot understand spiritual things. And so for us to debate doctrine with them does not make any kind of sense at all. I mean, stop and think about it. Many times we will, man, a Catholic, you know, wants to debate about whether Catholic or Baptist is right. Nowadays, it's the argument over where the King James is right or some other version, or whether you know, once saved, always saved, whether eternal security is right, or that thing of baptism, is it sprinkling or full immersion, and so on. We could go and understand from what the Bible says, a lost man, look at it there. It says, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Understand, a lost man is dead spiritually. He's dead spiritually. Might he have an opinion about things? Yes. But can he really know? No. It's an impossibility for him to understand. If you will, let me kind of illustrate and then give you a biblical illustration. First, when I was a young man, I had a 67 Mustang. And I mean, it was nice. A 67, had a 289 in it. My cousin had built the motor, had a three-quarter cam, for those that might know what that is, and had headers on it, had a Holley 654 barrel. And man, when you start that thing up, it kind of, and back then, you know, we put big tires, wide tires on the back and kind of jacked the back end up a little bit, and then, whoa, whoa, you know, and man, it's fun. And but I mean, it was really had a good time, you know, with my Mustang. But to really be cool back then, you had to have FM, and all I had was AM radio. And man, I could beat on the dash and beat on the dash all I wanted, and it could not pick up FM radio. Why? Didn't have the right receiver. I say a lost man's just exactly like that. He might have an opinion, but he cannot understand. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Most of you know the story here. We have a man named Nicodemus. The Bible declares here he is a ruler of the Jews there in chapter 3 and verse 1. And so let's be honest, being a ruler of the Jews, being a Pharisee, more than likely Nicodemus had the first five books of our Bible memorized. He had what we call the Pentateuch memorized. He would have been able to, at a moment's notice, get up and just quote it. And so, very religious man, but look what happens here. Then the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let me stop right there. How many of y'all understand what it means to be born again? Would you wave at me? See, isn't that, that's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, to us, folks that are saved, that been around the Word of God, we understand. That's it's a simple term. We know that it means this, be born from above. We know that it applies to salvation. Now, here's Nicodemus, very religious man, knows his Bible. And Jesus says, hey, you must be born again. Now, look at the next verse. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You want to say, boy, you're so dumb, Nicodemus. I mean, you just want to slap him in the back of the head, amen? What's wrong with you, Nick? I mean, good night. That's just simple stuff. But wait a minute. A lost man does not, cannot understand spiritual things. Again, very religious man. Knows the Bible. But he cannot understand just simple things. So folks, it does not make any sense at all for us to debate doctrine with a lost man. All you're going to do is beat him up spiritually. Well, it's King James is better than the NIV. So what? He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. Why are you going to beat him up? Baptist versus Catholic. I mean, any religion will do. I mean, folks, that's not the truth. But he doesn't understand. And to sit there and argue with him and debate, all you're doing is spiritually beating the guy up because he cannot understand. Don't do that. Look at Paul's solution again in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 2. Here's the solution. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Folks, just stick with the gospel. Just stick with the gospel story. You don't have to somehow. There are people that have the personality that, man, they know what's right, and they just have to straighten you out. Sir, cut that out. Ma'am, you don't have to straighten them out. And by the way, you don't have to have the last word. Quit that. Why don't you grow up? You're welcome. Amen. I mean, listen. We're dealing with folks that don't understand. Simple-minded. So just stick with the story that we're trying to get across with to them. Just stick with the gospel. Paul said that's what he did when he went to Corinth. Those people didn't understand. So he just simply stuck with the gospel story. So learn, we are not out to debate doctrine. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to get through more spiritual principles tonight than we did last night. That fear is a factor, is the biggest hindrance from people going soul winning. I spend a lot of time there. But tonight we'll get to go through several spiritual principles, and we'll finish those tomorrow night. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to start reading. Let's see. Verse 6. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, let me stop here just in case there's confusion amongst you. And I don't believe there is, but maybe somebody's confused. Tongues was never some kind of Asta Lashanaha Kawasaki Azuki. She came on a Honda. All right? never was some kind of gibberish that could not be understood. That is a modern day error. It is widely taught today that somehow if you're spirit filled, you speak with some kind of gibberish. Acts chapter 2 is very clear. You go back to the law of the first mention when interpreting the Word of God. It's very clear. It is known languages. So when he is talking about speaking in tongues, it would be like me getting up and speaking, I don't know whether it's German or Japanese, and you don't understand it. All right? That's what he's talking about. So he says, verse 6, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you, speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying by doctrine?" Now, if you want me to, I can take time and just, in fact, let me quickly. Revelation is just this. It's a revealing of truth. Knowledge just signifies, in general, intelligence or understanding. In this sense, prophesying is foretelling, revealing hidden things. Understand now, the era that we're in here is the 1 Corinthians is being written. The Bible has not been completed. And God used sign gifts to authenticate his work during that time. All right? So the thing of speaking in tongues, the thing of foretelling prophecy, those things were used to authenticate. Stop and think with me for a minute. Man, they have been through a time, and I'm talking about the Jews, had been through a time where they were sacrificing. They go to the temple on Saturdays. They are very religious in their worship of God. Those sacrifices in them, those things identified them with Christ. But now they have moved on from that. Christ has died. The veil's been rent from top to bottom, and so now we have a new and living way. And now we worship on Sunday because we're honoring and celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there has been a huge change. And so somehow we have to authenticate what makes this true, and that's no longer acceptable. All right. So God used the sign gifts. He used prophesying, and again, in this sense, that is foretelling. There is no more foretelling, by the way. What we do now in prophesying is this, forthtelling. All right? Everybody get that? Amen? All right? And then doctrine is just teaching a particular belief or set of beliefs. All right? So he says, what shall it profit you, in verse 6, except I speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, or by prophesying, by doctrine, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? I mean, what he's trying to get across is this. What's it going to profit you if you don't understand? He said, even if we have an instrument, let's imagine the trumpet players over here, and we're on the battlefield, and the general says, "Charge!" And he says, "Da, da, 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 da." Man, imagine the confusion. They don't know whether to charge or go to bed, amen? And so he's saying, what does it profit if what we are saying is not understood. All right? He goes on. Drop down if you would. Let me see. Drop down to verse 12. Verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gift, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. I missed it. Oh, back in verse 9, there it is. He said, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue, look at this, words easy to be understood. See, as we go and talk to people, folks, we want to do this. We want to make it easy to be understood. If we're not careful, we use words that the lost crowd does not understand. Man, we especially Romans 10:13. We'll quote the verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wouldn't you like to be saved? Well, wait a minute. A lost man does not understand that term. To us, it's a very simple term. To a lost man, he does not understand. And so we have to make it clear to him. What does that term saved mean? I'll normally tell him something like this. Listen, that word saved means two things. Means number one, you've been forgiven of your sin. Number two, you've been given God's gift of eternal life in heaven. Understand, folks, as we go talking to people about the Lord Jesus, I saw it a lot in the past. When many folks would go soul winning, they'd talk to people and in those terms of, you know, wouldn't you like to be saved? And they would stress two things. They'd stress heaven, and they'd stress eternal life. And we get it. That is a part of salvation. But understand, that is not what God's wanting folks to accept. Salvation is this, folks. Salvation is about the forgiveness of sin. That is what we need to help folks to understand. That they have sinned against a holy God. They deserve to go to hell because of their sin. And why are they calling on the Lord? To ask for forgiveness. Not just, Lord, please take me to heaven. That doesn't deal with sin. See, the Bible says this in Acts 20:21, faith toward our Lord Jesus, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it takes those two things to be saved. You cannot separate faith and repentance. Someone must be willing to repent. And that just simply is this, folks. It is simply a change of mind and direction. I remember, one of the big things to me, y'all know who Smiley and Houston is. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Joel Osteen. How many of y'all know who I'm talking about? I pastored across town from Joel for 10 years. I have friends that sing in his choir and they go to meetings over there. But see, Joel has said this publicly on numerous occasions. He'll not preach against sin because sin's offensive. But can I help you right here? See, why does a man need to get saved if he's not confronted with sin? See, we must help folks to understand. You have sinned against a holy God. That's why I'll ask the question. Listen, how old were you when mom sat you down, taught you how to tell a lie? See, she never did that. In fact, if she catches you lying, she's fixing to snatch you out your laundry. Now, y'all may not say it like that, amen? That's one of them Texas things, amen? But you get the point. See, mom never taught you how to lie. And so what are we trying to do? We want them to understand they are sinners by nature. Man chooses right over wrong. I use the personal illustration of how I was a little boy and my mom was going next door to Miss Baggett's house. I asked her if I could have some cookies. She said no. And so she left the house. I got up on the kitchen counter. I got is Oreos. I mean, how are you supposed to resist? Y'all say amen right there. It's Oreos. I got up on the kitchen counter, got in a cookie jar. Man, I had crumbs all over my face, crumbs all over the counter. Mom walks in. She says, Scott, you been in that cookie jar? Y'all tell me what I say. Nobody had to teach me how to lie, and nobody had to teach you how to lie. And see, we want to help folks to understand they are sinners by nature. So you use that. Use the illustration. Say, I knew a man one time that he's, you know, his mom was leaving. But learn, please, learn to illustrate the spiritual principles. By the way, that's what Jesus did. He just took a natural or a life event and gave it a spiritual understanding. Hey, y'all remember the woman at the well? What does Jesus talk to her about? Living water. After fish sandwich Sunday. Y'all know what I'm talking about? After he fed the 5,000. Amen. Some of y'all, you're still wondering what fish sandwich Sunday is. Amen. Isn't that what he did? He gave them fish and bread. Amen. I mean, so after that, he leaves. He goes across the lake. When they get over there, they meet him there. What does he talk to him about? Anybody remember? He talks about being the bread of life. See, he just takes natural things and uses, gives it a spiritual understanding. The fishers of men that Brother Allen just talked, that's what he talked to those fishermen as he's calling them to the and helping them to understand the purpose of the church as he starts it. He's there at the boat, and he says to these fishers, these guys that are fishermen by trade, they've been catching old slimy fish. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. See, he illustrated spiritual principles. And the best thing you can do, if you're going to make it easy to understand, is learn to illustrate spiritual principles. So let me give you one that man, we're in an age where people, they don't go to church. I watch it on TV. Anybody ever get that? Man, I stay home, watch it on TV. I use this illustration. Listen, you ever watch one of them Burger King commercials? I mean, when you watch that Burger King commercial, boy, the patty's still kind of steaming there. Cheese oozing off the side. Man, got water droplets on the lettuce and the tomatoes there. Mayonnaise kind of oozing. Let's go to Burger King. Amen. But go ahead and try to eat that burger off TV. See, you can't do it. You know what you got to do? You got to go down to the local Burger King. You want to really eat. You help them to understand, listen, you want to really eat from the Word of God, you're going to have to come down to the local church. You can't eat off that TV. By the way, go ahead and call that TV preacher when you have a family member in trouble. You need help. Go ahead and call the TV preacher. See, those kind of illustrations, see, make things simple to be understood. And that's what we have to do when we are talking to people. Man, make sure that we use words that they can understand. Because we'll use words that are simple to us. Saved, I don't know, glorification or justification or I mean, but they're not simple to the lost crowd. They don't understand them. So make sure we illustrate those things. That brings us to the next point, is that thing learned to illustrate spiritual principles. Again, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again. He talked to the woman of the well about living water. And again, there's so many easy things. I know in dealing with works, somebody said, well, I'm really working at, you know, going to heaven. Then I'll ask them, listen, let me ask you something. If I have a dirty dish here, and I got a dirty rag, and I begin to try to clean up that dirty dish, how far am I going to get? See, I'm not going to get very far, am I? I'll explain to them, see, that's my life. I'm a dirty dish, and my works are like dirty rags. And see, what I need is something clean. That's Jesus. See, he's clean. And he can take and clean up a life. By the way, just ask them the simple question. Hey, if you could get yourself to heaven by working, why did Jesus need to come? See, you can't be justified by the works of the law, it says in Romans. So understand, Jesus has to come if you and I are going to get to heaven. And so, again, just that simple thing of learning how to illustrate spiritual principles. I know that, I guess, the way that I have learned those is by going with different people and listening to different people give different illustrations. Or just simply thinking on things. I'd never heard the Burger King. Never heard anybody use that but myself. The dirty dish and the dirty rag, never heard. Come on, and I'm a simple-minded fella. Y'all say amen right there. Amen. I told you, I'm a retarded Texan. Amen. And Brother Allen, don't shake your head so vehemently there. So, amen. So understand, y'all, just stop and think. Man, how many of y'all think that God is interested in you being a soul winner? How many of y'all think that? See, if you prayed and asked him to help you to just think of some simple illustrations, you think he'd do that? See, I believe he would. Why? Because he wants folks saved more than you do. And so he is interested in, and listen, let me help y'all here. You're not Scott Netterville. Say amen right there. See, and God doesn't need you to be Scott Netterville. He needs you to be you. He needs Kevin Thomas to be Kevin Thomas. Amen. He needs Alan to... Well, let's move on. That's... Amen. So understand. Listen, God will use all of us. And he uses you as you, not as me, not as pastor. He uses you as you. And so talk to him. He will help you. Now, those illustrations are on the coaching card there. Use those. But I would do this. Man, find stuff that fits you and use that. All right? Next thing, all sinners are like green beans. All sinners are like green beans. I knew y'all said, man, he finally got to it. Let's hear, Brother Scott, what does that mean? Well, you go down the grocery store. You find the canned vegetable aisle, all right? And in the canned vegetable aisle, you find the green beans section. In the green beans section, you have this. You have Green Giant, you have Del Monte, you have Libby's, maybe some store brand. But you open the can up, y'all help me out, what's on the inside? Green bean. Sinners are just like that. See, they wear to all different kind of labels. See, I'm black. I don't care. You need the gospel. See, Romans said this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now understand, in God's economy, Greeks cover everybody that's not a Jew. Amen? So I'm Wiccan. What you need is the gospel. I don't need a special set of verses for you. I'm a Jew. Yeah, what you need is the gospel. The story of the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what you need. We don't have to change up. The Bible is clear. Paul said it in Romans 1:16. That's what we need. It is just simply, and it doesn't matter what their label is. I'm a Harley rider. Good, you need to get saved through the gospel. I'm redneck. Amen. You need to get saved through the gospel. I'm a lawyer. Well, walk away. Amen. I said, no, better not. Amen. They need the gospel too. Amen. If it's politician, well, no, okay. But y'all understand what I'm saying. And let me say this while I'm there. Let me think. What's the verses? Lord, help me think here. I know I have it. Okay. Luke chapter 8. Go back over there. Luke chapter 8. We find here the story of the Gadarene demoniac. Remember this guy? I mean, he's demon possessed. He's the epitome of somebody in depression. He's out and living in the tombs. He's naked. He's again, because of his demon possession, he has extraordinary strength. He's crying all the time. But he gets saved. And when he gets saved, this is what we find. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now we could preach a lot right there, but I want you to see what Jesus has to say to this guy. Verse 37, "Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes, round about, besought him to depart from them." They were scared of Jesus. They did not know how to handle the great power of God that was upon this man's life. "For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying," now here's the key verse. Look at this. Verse 39. "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done." Now, if you go back, and I forget off the top of my head where where it talks about this story again. But in that instance, it says this, "Go to your friends and family." And I say this tonight, the hardest people to win our friends, and especially family. They are. They know your life. They have seen you. I know it was that way with my co-workers. I was telling Caleb, my grandson, earlier, how that when I got saved, I worked in a steel mill there in Houston. And I got saved on a Monday morning. See, on Friday, I dealt drugs to those fellas. On Monday morning, at 6:30 in the morning, I got saved. At 8 o'clock, I'm at work on Monday morning. The first two people I found was two lay preachers I worked with, guys that I'd cursed and mocked, guys I'd made fun of. One of them was named Richard. Richard was Assembly of God fella. Every time you turn around, though, Richard had his New Testament out, and he is talking to somebody about the Lord. He was in the office that morning. He'd worked graveyards. I was coming on days. I said, "Richard, you never guess what happened to me this morning." He sat up and looked at me. He said, "What?" I said, "I got saved." He looked at me and he said, "Anybody but you." I'm thinking, what? Am I really that bad? He admitted later he was scared to talk to me because I'd been so unkind to him, cursed him many times. The other fella had a good Texas name, Jasper Beatty. Jasper was a forklift driver, and I found him down at the warehouse. I'd many, many times made fun of Jasper and him being saved, trying to talk to me. I went down to the warehouse. I said, "Jasper, what?" He was expecting more of the same. I said, "I got saved this morning." I'll never forget. Jasper shut that forklift off. He jumped off that thing, come grab me and hugging me. We're both standing there crying in the middle of a steel mill. You can't do that, amen. Two guys hugging and crying don't look good. Hey, man. And then I remember telling Ray. Ray was a fellow I'd sold drugs to on Friday. He's a black guy I worked with. I began to tell Ray that morning I got saved. Ray looked at me and this is what he said. He said, "Man, you must have had a bad trip this weekend. Don't worry, you'll be all right. You'll be back." I said, "You don't understand, man. I got saved." God began to change my life. I told you last night I was one of them long-haired, motorcycle-riding, drug-dealing hippies. God began to deal with me, dealing with my hair, dealing with my music, dealing with my speech, dealing with the way I treated people. And see, that's what Jesus was telling this Gadarene demoniac. See, they need to see great things. If they're going to ever listen to you, it's going to be because they see great things in your life of what God's done. Don't think you're just going to be an average Christian. Live one way away from here and another way when you hear, and you're going to be able to reach them. By the way, Jesus did say of one crowd, he said, "This kind cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting." See, I'd ask you this, are they worth fasting for? Because that's the only way you're going to reach them. They know you. They have seen your life. It's hard to get them to listen. So the only thing you can do is begin to pray, "God, please open a door for me." See, again, I'll say this. Please, please get a hold of this. God wants them saved more than you do. He is more interested. So if you begin to say, "God, I'll be the vessel if you'll use me," and begin to take those steps so that they see you're not the same. God has completely turned you around. Then, can I say it this way? They might listen. I'll be honest with you. We have family that we have talked to. They won't listen. they won't listen. We pray for lost family every day, but they don't listen. And they say this, and many of y'all have heard them. I'm sure your family say this. When you begin to try to talk to them, "Oh, don't preach at me. I don't want to hear that. I mean, that may be what's good for you, but that..." Man, they make all kind of excuse. And they are the hardest to talk to. And there's not a special set of verses. It's just you being willing to let God change you in miraculous ways. This guy, I mean, people were scared by what they saw. It was such a miraculous difference. Folks, do y'all understand? See, when we get saved, everything about us is to change. I remember I'd just gotten saved, and I was riding down the road, and had my music turned up. Hadn't been saved very long as Amy Grant, and she is a grunting. Amen. I mean, I had it really turned up there, Brother Andrew. And I remember these fellas pulled up beside me. I still had my long hair, had my contemporary Christian music a-playing. They pulled up beside me, and one of them went like this. And went to hand it to me. I got mad. I thought within myself, I'm a Christian. I don't do that stuff anymore. The Holy Spirit of God smote my heart and said, "How they know?" They couldn't tell it by my music. They couldn't tell it by my looks. I still look like them, still acting like them. Can I say, you're not going to stay where you look like them and act like them and God use you in a great way. You're going to have to be different. By the way, come on. Isn't he worth being different for? Isn't he worth being different for? I don't know about you. I want to see folks saved. And it is worth every bit of whatever I need to do to change for God to use me. Amen? All right, we're going to stop right there. We just have a few more. If you would, you go ahead and get with your partner. Preacher, you come. If there's folks that don't have a partner, preacher will help you out. Or if your partner isn't here, he'll help you out with that also. As soon as he gets through with that, we'll go over some instructions, all right? We're going to do, how many of you have your coaching card? All right. Now, this is what we're going to do tonight. Now, please, let me say this one more time just so that everybody is on the same page. I understand some of you are already experienced soul winners. I get that. I need you to stay, though, within the confines of what we are doing so that beginners do not get confused. All right? I need you to work with me in that. Now, let me ask you to do this. If somebody gets out of bounds, out of these parameters, raise your hand and tell me, and I'll come scold them. Say amen right there. Don't be scared of them, because this is the thing. If we need to do that so that beginners are all on the same page in their training, all right? All right, so we want to do this. You're going to just simply introduce yourself, go through the approach questions, and then go through at least the first two spiritual principles, that thing of the fact of sin and the consequences of sin. All right? So simply you're going to do this. Come here, preacher. Hey, how you doing? My name's Scott. What's your name?
Caleb.
Caleb, hey, it's good to meet you, man. We're out from Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'd like to give you an invitation here. Hey, do you go to church anywhere?
Not really, no.
Yeah, hey, listen, you're the kind of guy we're looking for. We'd love to have you come visit our church sometime. Let me just ask you, did you ever go to church? I mean, with grandma or anything?
A little bit growing up with my parents, you know, here and there.
What kind of church was it?
You know, it was a charismatic-y church, you know, Pentecostal.
Okay. Hey, we let them in half price now at the Baptist church, all right? So if you ever come, you just let them know at the door, Scott said you can get in half price, all right? Good. Hey, well, let me ask you this. More important than church, because, listen, church is good, but it cannot get you to heaven. Let me just ask you, man. Obviously, you probably care about spiritual things.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
I guess, yeah.
Sure. So what about eternity? Have you thought about that much?
No.
Listen, the Bible teaches this, Caleb, that when you die, don't do that, but when you die, one of two places you're going to go. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Given those two choices, where you want to go when you die?
Heaven.
All right. Hey, would you let me take my Bible, show you some verses from it, how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven?
Sure.
All right. Simple as that, all right? You don't have to use those questions just exactly like that. There's a list of questions on there. But all I want you to do, get into it quickly, introduce yourself, get into those questions quickly, and then just simply say, listen, first thing is this that you need to understand, Caleb, the fact of sin. Listen, the Bible says this in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, you've done things just like I have. You knew not to do them, yet you did them anyway. Nobody ever made you sin. And the truth is, we're sinners by nature, all right? And then the Bible says there's a consequence on sin. And that consequence is death. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That death is not just a physical death, but it's a second death. Let me show you that in the Bible, okay? All right, everybody get it? Any questions real quick? All right, y'all go right ahead. And I'll give you about 15 minutes. That means we've got till about 20 after.